It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
All right, ladies, here we are in our Bible study segment, Lesson 61 today, and with me is Connie Stample, our teacher. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Amy.
Are we going to learn something very exciting about Joseph and his brothers today?
Yes, we're going to find Joseph is doing that final test of his brothers.
All right, well, why don't I read the first part of this chapter, and Connie will teach. Starting in verse 1 of Genesis 44, "Then he commanded the steward of his house, 'Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, with his money for the grain.' And he did as Joseph told him. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. They had gone up only a short distance from the city. Now Joseph said to his steward, 'Up, follow after the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, "Why have you repaid evil for good? Is it not from this that my lord drinks, and by this that he practices divination? You have done evil in doing this.' When he overtook them, he spoke to them these words. They said to him, 'Why does my lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money that we found in the mouths of our sacks we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your lord's house? Whichever of your servants is found with it shall die, and we also will be my lord's servants.' And he said, 'Let it be as you say. Who is found with it shall be my servant, and the rest of you shall be innocent.' Then each man quickly lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack. And as he searched, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they tore their clothes, and every man loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there. They fell before him to the ground, and Joseph said to them, 'What deed is this that you have done? Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination?' And Judah said, 'What shall we say to my lord? What shall we speak? Or how can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Behold, we are my lord's servants, both we and also he in whose hand the cup has been found.' But he said, 'Far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whose hand the cup was found shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father.' Then Judah went up to him and said, 'Oh, my lord, please let your servant speak a word in my lord's ears, and let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servant, saying, "Have you a father or a brother?" And we said to my lord, "We have a father, an old man, and a younger brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead, and he alone is left with his mother's children, and his father loves him." Then you said to your servants, "Bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him." We said to my lord, "The boy cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die." Then you said to your servants, "Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again." When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord. And when our father said, "Go again, buy us a little food," we said, "We cannot go down if our youngest brother goes with us. Then we shall go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us." Then your servant, my father, said to us, "You know that my wife bore me two sons, and one has left me." And I said, "Surely he has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him since. If you take this one also from me and harm happens to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to Sheol. Now, therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then, as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die, and your servants will bring down gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant has become a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, "If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my lord, and let the boy go back to his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father."
Yes, Amy. Thank you so much. Here we are at the all of Genesis chapter 44, and we find that Joseph has designed a test to really determine, has his brothers changed? Are they new men? Have they repented of their evil? What will they do with Benjamin? Will they stay with Benjamin? Will they abandon him? What will they do? So we find that Joseph has again tested them by putting money in their sacks, but most importantly of all, he has put his own silver cup in Benjamin's bag. And this is the cup that the Egyptians would use for divination. They would somehow think they could tell the future with it. We don't know that Joseph did that. I don't think he actually did, knowing who God was. God was the one who revealed things to him. But he's allowing his brothers to believe that he's an Egyptian with those kind of powers. And we find that when the servant overtakes the brothers and he accuses them of repaying evil for good and stealing the cup, they rashly say, well, whoever has the cup, let him die. And then the rest of us will be servants. And then there's the drama of the servant of Joseph going through each man's bag, starting with the oldest again and ending with the youngest. And one, they find the money returned, but they also find the cup in Benjamin's bag. And the brother's reaction is very interesting, but it also shows a change of heart because they are grieved, they tear their clothes, they saddle up their donkeys, they pack everything back, and all of them go back to Joseph's house with Benjamin. They did not abandon him. And then we find that Joseph is coming to them and saying, why have you done this? And they again fall before him to the ground. And Judah, again, is the spokesman. And he answers Joseph and he says, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. And yes, they've been caught with the cup and with the money. But even more than this, it's really speaking to the fact that they are finally allowed saying that they have harmed Joseph and it was wrong to sell him into slavery. And so they are confessing their sin. And then Joseph says, no, only the man who has the cup is going to be the one I will keep captive. The rest of you can go. And then Judah comes up to him privately and has a very long, beautiful discourse recounting what has happened about the story of the love of Jacob for his son Benjamin, about how Joseph has been lost and thought to be killed by wild animals. And then Judah offers himself as a substitute for Benjamin. And he says, you know, I'm a pledge or a surety for Benjamin, and I will take the blame before my father if Benjamin does not return. And so he pleads with Joseph to allow him to take his place to be a substitute, which is beautiful because it shows Judah so understands Jacob's love for Benjamin that he will not allow Jacob to go through that sorrow again of losing another son because he knows it would kill Jacob. And then we truly have a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it does remind me of John 15:13, where Jesus tells his disciples, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Mm-hmm. Judah, who had proposed selling Joseph into slavery, and it happened, and then now he himself is the one who's offering to become a slave so that his brother Benjamin can be free. And mm-hmm. What a changed man, what a beautiful thing. We're going to find that as we go on, this is the event that then allows Joseph to reveal himself to his brothers. But God is working in and through these events to bring the brothers who had sinned greatly to acknowledge their sin and to turn from it and to understand God judges, but God is also gracious. And we see, I think, in the picture of Joseph, just a great graciousness toward his brothers, of helping them come to the truth of their actions and confess them. And what a picture of the gospel and God working in and through our lives for his purposes. We just are amazed how this story is unfolding and what God is doing, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, that wraps up today's lesson. Please find the notes on naomistable.com.